I really try to get any super important work done before this window because chances are I'm going to be running in the house, grabbing a kid, getting sucked into family life for a little bit here. And I love that. Like, I love that part of the flexibility of what I do and how I do it.
Hey, my name is Jenna Kutcher, and I am obsessed with all things business, marketing, numbers, and helping you to navigate both the messy and the magical seasons of this thing called life. I'm a small town mama who took a $300 camera, grew a successful photo biz, and now I work from home and run a seven-figure online business. I teach you the tried and true secrets to building a career you adore. Shy away from the real talk? No way. Money, hardship, growth, loss, and marketing are all topics we discuss here. Think of this as your one-stop shop for happy hour with a gal pal mixed with business school. Pull up a seat, make sure you're cozy, and get ready to be challenged and encouraged while you learn. This is the Gold Digger Podcast.
All right. I cannot believe that I am recording this episode, but I actually am very excited to do this. I recently did a Q&A box on my Instagram stories, and so many questions were just kind of around, what does a day in the life look like? What does the juggle look like? What are your household responsibilities? What do you have help with? What does it look like for you and Drew as teammates? What is your routine? And so many questions also about like, well, how much do you really work and how much do you sleep at night? And it's really funny to me because when people ask me this, I feel like surely this is going to be the most boring episode ever. But you better believe that when I look at my own user habits, I love listening to when people talk about what their lives look like. Even if it is so unrelatable, even if it has nothing to do with anything that I want to do, I love hearing about people's health routines or their routines with work or parenthood or what their teams look like around them. So today we are peeling back the layer and I'm telling myself that this is just going to be a time capsule for me someday to listen to again to remember this stage and season of my life. But if you are curious, if you are like me, let's walk through what a typical day in the life for Jenna Kutcher looks like today. Let me introduce you to a podcast you're going to love. It's called The Shine Online, and it's hosted by a former Gold Digger guest, Natasha Samuel, and brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. Natasha interviews the brightest entrepreneurs to bring you no fluff advice, honest discussions about the mental health and lifestyle aspect of entrepreneurship, and actionable strategies and success stories of those who have mastered the art of shining online. Natasha just covered this topic I think you'd love to hear about. She talks about when you're ready to hire a social media manager and when you're not, because hiring a social media manager isn't going to fix your social media problem if you're not ready and willing to show up and do the work too. Listen to The Shine Online wherever you get your podcasts. So one of the reasons why I have hesitated on even creating an episode like this is because for me, every day is different. I think part of that is my ADHD. I am someone who likes variety. I don't want to feel like boxed in or that I have too much structure in my life. To me, as a creative being, structure feels like boxing myself in. But something that's different for me, especially right now in my life, is that I have this different level of consistency and I have different routines unlike anything I've ever had before. And it's been this really interesting mix for me because, again, I love variety, but I also crave having these routines, these rituals, these resets for me each day. And so it's kind of been like this blend of figuring out like, what is the balance of that doesn't feel constricting to me, but also like, how is this going to look when it comes to parenthood, when it comes to work, when it comes to marriage? And the other caveat here that I want to share is that in the past, when I've done episodes like this, I definitely had a more like black and white belief system when it came to structure. There were past episodes where I'd be like, I never work past 5 p.m. or I never work on the weekends. And I feel like there is so much more gray in my life, especially having kids, that I will some nights check my email after dinner, or I will work when the kids are sleeping. And so I want to kind of lead off and like blanket statement this entire episode with two things. This is your invitation to, one, ask yourself, what sort of season are you in and what is it that you're needing more of? Is it more like black and white and boundaries in your life? Or is your life calling you into more shades of gray? Because I think there are just different times in our lives that call for different things. And the second question or invitation that I have for you is, what could you create more consistency or routine around in the areas of your life that you might be neglecting or feeling urgent in? And I feel like when I look at these episodes and my life and the structure and the schedule, those two questions really help me discern, one, what am I going to get out of listening to Jenna talk about her life and what it looks like? But two, what do I need more of? Do I need more structure? Do I need more black and white? Do I need more clear boundaries? Or should I let things blend a little bit more? Is this season calling me to blend? So without further ado, and with a lot of hesitation, we're going to dive in. Now, I also just want to say before I dive in, I recognize that there are going to be aspects of what my life looks like right now that are highly unrelatable. I also recognize that there is a ton of privilege. I have an incredible partner who has given up his career and some of those aspirations surrounding that to be a stay-at-home parent. Like, I have his support, which changes things. And I recognize that not a lot of people have those things. I also recognize that I have a job that gives me a lot of flexibility. I've built a business that gives me a lot of opportunity to kind of ebb and flow. And so I just want you to know that as I am sharing all of this, I understand that. And yet, with your curious minds and with this desire to document my life as it is in this season, as it is in this year, I'm going to share this anyways. And so, as always, when it comes to this very show, take what serves you, leave the rest behind. You know, if you have to say like, good for her, not for me, that's cool too. Amy Poehler taught me that line and I use it often. All right, let's dive in. So most days, my goal is to wake up at 7 a.m. And I say my goal is because a lot of times Coco will wake up earlier than that. Usually sometimes between 6:30, she'll come to our bedroom in the morning. And one thing that has been amazing for us, and this is not a paid partnership or anything of the sort, is she has this little Tony box. It's basically this little speaker box that has different figurines that you can put on top of it. And there's like lots of Disney figurines, and it has songs and it has these amazing stories. It tells the stories of like Elsa from Frozen or Belle from Beauty and the Beast. And one of the things that I love about this, it's screen free. You can't go down any rabbit holes, and she loves it. It uses her imagination. So a lot of times she'll saunter into our bedroom between 6 and 6:30. And that's when we'll say like, oh, go grab out your Tony box. And like, what are you going to listen to today? And so that's been amazing because it's given her a lot of independence in the morning and a lot of independent time. And it's so cute because we'll just watch her go line up all her little figurines and listen. And she also reads in the morning. And so we've just really been fostering as much independence as we can so that we can get as much sleep as we can. Quinn is an incredible sleeper and she sleeps through the night, which is such a blessing. And so generally speaking, we don't have to wake her up until 7 a.m. Now, lately, Drew will often wake up in the morning and get his workout in because once that happens, his day gets going with the kids and it's hard for him to pull away. And so that's kind of how the morning starts. So 7 a.m. is always like my goal time. If I can be sleeping until 7 a.m., ooh, that's awesome. Then between the hours of 7 and 8 a.m., it is like the hustle time. So when people talk about like morning routines and like they, you know, have those beautiful Instagram reels where they're like stretching their arms in their bed and then they're like doing their meditation and drinking their lemon water, like that is not our house. Our house is not chaotic in the morning, but there's just a lot going on. So oftentimes I'll get both of the girls up. Drew will start making breakfast. Coco loves poke eggs, aka fried eggs with the runny yolk and toast. And so we're kind of doing this like juggle together, which I love that I have that partnership in the morning. Cause for all of you who like get multiple children out the door on time, like that is a feat in and of itself. And it is also, and can be, and also frenetic way to start your day. So we do breakfast as a family. We all sit around the table. I'll do Coco's hair, make sure she's ready for school. And then at 8 a.m., Drew leaves with both of the girls in the car. And so I feel like that is when I get my like first exhale. And historically speaking, in the past, when he would leave, that is when I would like dive right into work. Like in our past house and even like in past years, I would like crack open my computer the second he left. And something that has really changed for me and really been a huge part of just like my journey in terms of consistency and routine has now been that when he leaves at 8 a.m., that is when I prioritize some of those rituals, routines, resets, whatever you want to call them, into my day to start my day with them. This has been a huge flip for me because in the past, when it came to healthy habits, I often would leave them until the end of the day when I was exhausted. And you can imagine what happened. They didn't happen. And so for me, it's actually been amazing. So when he leaves at 8 a.m., that is when I start some of my routines. And again, this might not be relatable and you might not even know what I'm talking about, but you asked. And so I'm going to be honest. When he leaves at 8 a.m., I do red light therapy and I lay on what is known as a PEMF mat. I have an entire episode about biohacking. So if you go to jennakutcherblog.com/biohacking, I explain what these things are, why I do them, why I love them. But I kick off my morning with that. So I will lay on my mat. I have my red light on. And that is often when I'll spend a little bit of time connecting with friends. Sounds weird, but that's when I'll like voice text my friends, catch up on my phone from the night before. Try not to grab my phone until this time so I can just be with my kids in the morning. I also will sometimes meditate while on the mat, but this whole little part of my day takes about 20 minutes. So 8 to 8:20. And then I head into our gym. When we built our home, something that we really deeply desired was to have a space for working out. And so we have a gym in our house. It sits below my office. And so once I do that morning part of my ritual, I'll usually head to the gym. And one thing that has been so transformative for me is walking and working. So we got a treadmill when we moved into our new house. I know a lot of people's homes don't even have room for a massive piece of equipment. I get that. Having this treadmill has been so game-changing for me. It's been crazy. Last year, I really struggled to get in like intentional movement. And so I would get a lot of movement in throughout the day, chasing the kids. And, you know, once the weather was great, we would go on walks. But we're in the dead of winter, right? Like winter lasts forever here. Winter lasts until like May. And so you can't really get outside and walk. I mean, you can, it's just not as feasible or comfortable. And so having this treadmill has been a game changer for me. I typically now walk between 10 and 13,000 steps a day, and I'm doing it while I'm working. So I have a desk on the treadmill and I don't walk super fast. It's usually like 2.5 miles per hour, and I'll pop it up to a high incline and I'll use that time to check email or Slack or type. Like I can even type. I typed this outline for this episode while on the treadmill. And what's really interesting is as someone with ADHD, and I do not know if there is any correlation or if this is just something I'm telling myself, I actually feel like I focus better while I'm moving. A lot of people are like, don't you get motion sick? And like, I am someone who literally has like ginger pills and like those C-bands in my bags when I travel because I get motion sickness a lot. But for some reason, walking on the treadmill does not do that for me. And what's amazing is I have a little Aura ring where I track my activity, and just seeing how significantly my scores have improved when it comes to like intentional movement is amazing. So a lot of times I'll walk anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour. And I love this time of day because I'm still being productive. I'm getting into my work. It might be at a little bit of a slower pace, but it's like easing me in while also getting in movement for the day. Today, I actually used that window of time and I connected with a friend and we talked on the phone for an hour and I got in like 40 minutes of walking. And then I was doing like light weights while we were just talking and catching up on the phone. And it was so life-giving. Like it was just so awesome. So here's your just like PSA little reminder, connect with people you love, reach out to people you love, check in on your strong friends. It was just a really awesome way to start my day today. So again, like I said, there's a lot of variety in my life. There are certain similarities from day to day, but again, I like to not get too boxed in. AI is such a hot topic right now, but how can you really use it in your business in a way that moves the needle? What if AI could take over tedious tasks like pulling reports, rewriting blog posts, and trying to personalize countless prospecting emails? Well, introducing HubSpot's newest AI tools, Content Assistant and ChatSpot.
Content Assistant uses the power of OpenAI's GPT-3 model to help you create content outlines, outreach emails, and even web page copy in just seconds. And in case that wasn't enough, they created ChatSpot, a conversational growth assistant that connects to your HubSpot CRM for unbeatable support. With chat-based commands, you can manage contacts, run reports, and even ask for status updates. The easy-to-use CRM just got even easier. Head to hubspot.com/artificial-intelligence to get early access today. You're already so close to having everything you need to transform your ideas, those little sparks into your brain, into something real. Far too many good dreams die before they've had the chance to grow. Fear stomps them out. Lack of planning keeps them quiet. And we're committed to changing that today. Are you ready? My Gold Digger Printable Planner is here to help you map out every plan, list, tracker, and prompt that you need in order to achieve your personal goals, your business dreams, or your wellness vision. Whatever your ideas are, you are equipped to plan and play. Snag the Gold Digger Planner at jennakutcher.com/golddiggerplanner for the resources to get that dream down on paper so that it can finally grow. That's jennakutcher.com/golddiggerplanner. So between the hours of 9:30 and 11:30, this is when I try to do my deep work. So as I record this, that is happening in this window of time. If I have to do any recording, this is the best time to do it for me. There's a lot of studies and data that shows that humans generally can only focus for 4 deep work hours a day. I learned this when I took Marie Forleo's Time Genius course, and it really transformed the way that I looked at, like, say, a typical 8-hour workday, because I recognize that there are windows of time where I do need that really deep and focused work, specifically for my neurodivergent brain. And so this is the best time for me. So this is when Coco is in school, so I likely won't be interrupted. Drew is with Quinn. And for a long time, this window of time was when Quinn would do her first nap. She's down to 1 nap now, which kind of changed our whole schedule. But I like to front load, like, my more intentional, deep focus work during this window of time. One thing that we are looking at as a team is kind of focusing on how can we get more deep work in and what does this look like? And so one thing that we're working towards is kind of having more concentrated Slack communication. So if you aren't familiar, Slack is kind of like an AOL instant messenger, but a lot of businesses use it to communicate. There's little notifications, it can pop up, you can share files, you can record audio, you can share screens. It's a really amazing platform that we use. But one thing that I notice within myself is that it can often distract me. So it can pull me out of deep work. And so we've been talking about, like, what if we do, like, certain office hours where it's like you check in, you connect with people, you get them what they need, what you need, and then you do your deep work and then you circle back at the end of it. And so that's something that we're working towards. But again, like, this 9:30 to like 11:30, 12:30 is like my deep work time of, like, this is head down, focused work in the office, sitting up in a chair, like, you are, like, dialed in. And I love this time of day. It's when I feel like I get the most done. Around 11:30, this is when Drew leaves for pickup. So we have Coco in a Montessori school. She goes part-time. So she goes to school from 8:30 to noon each day. We had tossed around the idea of having her in school full-time. I think, like, developmentally, she's absolutely ready. But as a parent, I'm like, we're not ready yet. Once she's in school for full days, like, that's the rest of her life, right? And so we're really trying to, like, cherish this time with her. And it feels like a really beautiful balance. Like, it feels like she gets to learn, she gets to be around other kids, she gets those, like, social skills, she really enjoys school. And so it's been this really great thing that we have this part-time schedule, but it does sometimes feel like Drew gets home from drop-off and, like, oh my gosh, that window of deep work time goes so fast. And then he's turning around to pick her up. So he goes at 11:30, picks her up, and then they get home around noon. And so a lot of times I'll try to go inside so that I can see her when she gets home from school, help out with lunch if I can, take part in some aspect, because between the hour of 12 and 1, lunch has to happen and we get Quinn ready for her nap. And basically, this window of time, some days I work through it,
Some days I am prepared to be interrupted, and some days this is when I take my break. So I really try to get any super important work done before this window, because chances are I'm going to be running in the house, grabbing a kid, getting sucked into family life for a little bit here. And I love that. Like, I love that part of the flexibility of what I do and how I do it. So from 1 to 4, Quinn naps in the afternoon. And so half of the days, Drew will take Coco out on a date. Like, they have like annual passes to the aquarium, the trampoline park. This is like when they get some really special daddy-daughter time, which I just think, man, like, how cool. I don't know. I'm so excited for when my kids are old enough to like understand how cool it is that their dad stayed home with them, took care of them, did all this special time with them. Like, that bond is just like, could make me weep. And so half of the days during the week, usually every other day, they'll go out and they'll do some adventure, aquarium, trampoline park, library. They go to the mall a lot. And then I'll be watching Quinn's monitor, being available if she wakes up, and I'll work from the house. And then the other half of the days, they hang at home. A lot of times we'll watch a movie or do something like that just to kind of have more rest. And I'll stay either working in my office or I'll work next to Coco while she watches a movie. She doesn't nap any longer. I know for those people who are very anti-screen, I get it. I also watched a lot of TV growing up and I turned out okay. And so it's interesting watching, because like, she needs a break, like energetically, she needs a break. She's not a napper any longer. And so we found that like the every other day thing works quite well. And other than that, my kids don't watch screens. I feel like I have to give that disclaimer because like the anti-screen people will come at me. But I don't know. I think movies are great. I love watching movies. So half of the days I'll sit next to her while she watches a movie so that I'm right next to her and I'll just do some work. And again, it's not as deep of work, but it's still getting some work done. This is where things might get very unrelatable. So I'm just like going to like put a little asterisk, a little caveat here. Usually between 2 and 3 is when I do a part of my routine that feels wild to even mention or bring up. When we built our house, we built a sauna. And I say sauna, I am Finnish and I'm proud of it. My grandpa, Sulo, 100% Finn. If that means nothing to you, the world of sauna or sauna is a very Finnish thing. I grew up where there was just this ritual around sauna. It was a very big part of my life. And so when we built our home, while we would love to have like a wood burning sauna out in the woods, we knew we would use it so much more if it was built into our house. So we have a sauna in our walkout basement. And at the very final hour of building our home, we added in a cold plunge. Again, not relatable. Big tub, cold water. The water stays cold. It filters itself. You don't have to drain it every day. I never thought I would be someone who would cold plunge or enjoy it or look forward to it or be religious with it. And yet here I am. Funny story about me, but I was a diver, meaning diving into pools of chlorine filled water for a decade. And I dove all throughout college. I was actually quite good. I still hold some school records to this day, which I'm very proud of. However, it made me hate being wet. Like, imagine with me, freezing cold, bitter, middle of the winter, and you have to dive into a freezing pool of water at 5:45 in the morning. When Drew met me, my hair was tinged green from chlorine. I smelled like chlorine and I wore sweatpants every day. And I was always like, my hair was always damp because I was always in a pool. So the fact that I have a cold plunge is very shocking to me the most, because I hate being wet. I just hate it. But every day, as much as I can, I will for sure jump in the cold plunge. But if I have enough time, I will also jump in the sauna. I usually do like 20 minutes in the sauna, 3 minutes in the cold plunge. And what's amazing about this is that for me, this ritual not only kind of like resets me throughout the day, but it gets me energized again. Because a lot of times I'll have like an afternoon slump energetically. And so this time block of time has really just given me a lot of energy. It excites me, gives me that dopamine, helps me clear the mind fog that sets in. And again, it's just a part of my ritual now. I love it, but it's not for everyone. And I get that. So after that, then I'll usually get back to work and I generally try to have a hard stop at 5 p.m. So from 3 to 5, I'm usually kind of finishing up tasks, working with my team, what you got going on, what do you need, and do that. I keep this window of time very flexible because some days I'll end up just hanging with my family and some days I like get back to work. And so I try super hard to have this hard stop at 5 p.m. so that I can get back with my family, spend 2 solid hours as a family before bedtime. We usually will play in the playroom, you know, make dinner together. We do bath time or showers. And then I, generally speaking, will do bedtime. So Coco, because she doesn't nap, she is ready to crash first. Like she'll be like, is it bedtime yet? Like it's like the middle of the afternoon. She's like, is it bedtime yet? So I'll do stories with her, get her ready for bed. And that's like our really special time together. It's just her and I. And then Drew will be with Quinn and then he'll hand her off to me and I'll do story time with her and tuck her in. And so that's kind of my special time and also gives Drew a little bit of a break because he's been juggling the kids all day. So then 7 p.m., that is like when we aim to have both kids sleeping. The girls are finally sleeping. It's 7 p.m. Now it is time with Drew. And we do this really weird thing. I'm kind of hesitant to share about it publicly on the podcast, but here we go. So we do meals as a family. However, dinner time can feel chaotic. And a lot of times we eat different foods than our children do. Not because we're like catering to specific needs or anything like that, but we like to like cook like interesting flavor profiles, like curries and things like that. I'm sure our kids would probably like them. But anyways, all that to say, we've done this for a long time. And since our kids go to bed at 7 o'clock, we will eat dinner separately. So we'll sit with our kids while they eat supper. We'll still have that like family dinner environment. But then at like 7:30, that's when we eat together as adults. It's not chaotic. We're not shoving cottage cheese into a kid's mouth. We're not fetching different beverages. Like it's just a more relaxed time. And I want to give a full disclosure. We know this is a very terrible habit, but it's just something we love. A lot of times we will eat dinner and we will watch a trashy TV show. Now we love shows. We love Top Chef, not super trashy. We love Below Deck, super trashy. MTV The Challenge, love it. Summer House, not great quality. We love these TV shows, okay? And so a lot of times we'll watch a little bit of TV, eat our dinner together, and then we'll shut it off. And it's so funny because it literally takes us probably 4 days to get through a 1 hour TV segment. Like we watch like just a little bit each day. It takes us a long time. So we can't get too invested in too many shows because we don't watch a lot of TV. And then once we're done with that, we clean up the kitchen. From 8 to 9 is when we are trying to wind down. But I feel like lately we've kind of gotten into this place where I'll either get a little bit more work done or check in on something or do like life admin stuff. And that's when Drew is also kind of doing some of the like life admin. Like he manages our properties. You know, we just have like a lot of stuff that like doesn't really get taken care of while I'm working and while he's parenting. And so that's when we're like cleaning the house, folding the laundry, doing all the things that did not get done during the day. That usually happens from 8 to 9 p.m. My ideal goal would be that we're like sitting together, cuddled up, drinking magnesium and reading a book. But reality has it that that is kind of the window of time where we're kind of doing the like life admin stuff. 9:30 is my dream time to be in bed. If I can be in bed by 9:30, dang it, that is like so good. We still dream feed Quinn, which essentially just means she's already sleeping, but we wake her up, give her one final bottle, which is why I think she can sleep through the night. And we have this little bedtime routine. We always go to bed together. We climb into bed. We read a devotional. If you're curious what that is, we read Jesus Calling. It's like a daily devotional. So we'll read that. This is usually when we do the most like pillow talk. Like we talk a lot during this time. I feel like my brain has finally shut off of work mode. He's finally gotten out of parent mode. This is when we connect the most. And I always laugh because Drew falls asleep so fast. He has been reading this one book for probably 7 months because he probably makes it through like 1.5 pages a day. We laugh and we joke about it all the time. I love to read. I read for fun. And so this is when I read, but I don't get super far before I fall asleep either. I fall asleep reading every night. And so, yeah, my goal time is to be like in bed and like ready for bed at 9:30. But, you know, it's usually between 9:30 and 10. So if you think about it, I'm sleeping from like 10 to 7 if all goes as planned. And if there aren't nights like last night when my head finally hit the pillow, I was finally falling asleep. And then I heard these little footsteps coming in and Coco wasn't feeling well. So I ended up sleeping in her bed. So again, as a parent, I'm like, I have all of these ideals, but you know, they might find me sleeping in a little pink bed with my daughter, not getting the best quality of sleep, but being there as her mama. So that's kind of what's really interesting. So that's kind of what a day in the life looks like during the week. And it's, you know, it's beautiful because there are definitely days where it's more of a juggle. And then there are definitely days where it goes really smooth. And I actually was complimenting Drew the other night. I just feel like he has found this incredible groove, and like energetically, he is just doing awesome as a dad. And I feel like there have been, you know, seasons where I felt like I need to be in and supporting way more. You know, there are things like nursing Quinn, like he cannot do that. So, you know, up until this point, there was just a lot more interruptions. And for me, having an actual dedicated office has been life-changing. I can't comment enough on how life-changing it has been to have this separate space for me to focus. I didn't realize how detrimental it was when I was trying to work while everything else was going on. It was frustrating for all of us, right? Like Coco wanted to be with me. I needed to be working. Drew would get frustrated because Coco would only want to be with me. Like it was just this like cycle. And so having a dedicated office has been such a game changer. And so I really like to not have too much structure. I like to have flexibility, but having these routines in my own day have been really helpful for me from a mindset space, from an energetic space, and also just from like a health space. A few things that we're looking at doing in the next year that will kind of change things. So one thing I would love to do is to figure out how to get our team to a 4-day work week. It might not be for the whole year. Maybe it's just for the summers or something that we like test out, but I would love to see if we can swing it. Cause something that's really interesting in this season of life, I love my work days. Like I love the work that I do. I get excited for Mondays. I also love the weekends. When I'm in my work week, I can't imagine the weekends. And when I'm in the weekends, I can't imagine the work week. And it's just like, I'm fully all in on whatever type of life I'm in. And so I would love to get to a 4-day work week to have a little bit more balance in that and to have a little bit more ability to support Drew and like give him more alone time. Another thing that we've been talking about is figuring out like, how do we give each other alone time? How do we support that? Like, what does that look like? For me, I get more alone time because I am traveling for work or things like that. But like also, how do I prioritize that for Drew? He needs breaks too. Like he can't just constantly live in the land of being a stay-at-home parent. For anyone that is a stay-at-home parent, oh my gosh, like what an incredible job. What a gift you are giving to your children, but also what a demanding position to be in. I am not built to be a stay-at-home parent. My brain is not wired in that way. And I deeply respect the people who are. Like I bow down to you. And so one thing we've just been working on as a couple is like, how do we prioritize alone time for each other? What does that look like? And how do we like make that a thing? Last night when we were going to bed, Drew was just saying like, he was craving something like, I need alone time. And I was like, well, I need you to like be proactive in planning that. Like, I need you to say like, here are some dates, do these work for you to be all in with the kids so that I can do X, Y, and Z, whatever that is. If it's go visit his friends in Wisconsin or do a Tough Mudder or whatever that is, like, I want to support that. But like, I also need you to be proactive in communicating those needs and the timing of those needs because I will fully support it. I'm also in a season. So there's something interesting that I recently learned from my friend, Natalie Ellis. She's a co-founder of Boss Babe. And she actually has a mastermind that I'm a part of. And she has been talking about like this life operating system. So a lot of times we have, you know, like EOS, like entrepreneurial operating systems, or like systems that we use in our business. And she has been talking about like, well, what would that look like if you had more of that in your life? And when I think about as someone with ADHD and as someone who can oftentimes struggle with very simple tasks, like opening the mail, getting bills out on time, returning packages, like that kind of stuff stresses me out more than being on a stage in front of 5,000 people. I kid you not, stuff like that, it is so hard for me to do. I'm trying to unpack where that comes from. Even things as simple as like putting away laundry, like it's hard for me to do that. I don't get it. It frustrates me about myself. I'm learning more about that. But my friend, Natalie, has been talking about like a life operating system and what this is. And it invites in more rigidity to a schedule, which is something that I like grapple with. Do I want that or do I not? But it also invites in a lot more organization. and a lot more like tasks. And I like it because it kind of takes some of those things that you put off or that are stressing you out or that you're thinking about in the back of your mind into a sort of structure. So for example, she'll have like one day a week where she goes through all the mail. And while that task is happening, each piece of mail has to be dealt with, whether it is mailing a checkout or filling out a form or just throwing it away. And so it's like more like batch working in terms of life and also more organization. And I love it. I love when she explained it. I was like, this feels like very freedom inviting to me. And if I can like have more organization, some of those things that I stress out about that literally should not be stressful could have a system that I know I can follow through on. And so that is also something that I'm like working on adopting and implementing into my life and also getting Drew's buy-in on like, here's what I need from you. Like, for example, Drew handles like all of our insurance stuff. And the other day I was like, I don't even know if my car insurance is up to date. I don't even know where the insurance card is. I don't know how to log in. I don't even know. It's because he takes care of it, which is such a blessing. But like, what if we have this hub where we have all of our information? I deal with a lot of stuff that Drew doesn't know anything about. And that's just like how we operate as a team. But when Natalie taught about like life operating systems, it's like getting everyone on the same page, understanding where everything is, how to log into everything, all of that. And then also like having systems around simple things. And so that's something that we're adopting as well. So there you have it. That is what a typical day in the life looks like. I have no idea if this was interesting. I also just realized that I didn't talk about like when I eat. I definitely eat during the day. Usually I'll go in and have lunch with the family. I think I said that. And I'll have dinner with Drew. And oftentimes I've been working really hard on having breakfast in the morning. So after I do my treadmill walk, I'll go in and get some breakfast. I do eat during the day. And I have a whole episode answering your biggest health questions and talk about like, what do I eat in a day? Because that was also a big question that came up. We'll link to those episodes in the show notes. I love sharing episodes like this because I think it is sometimes helpful to peel the curtain back and kind of understand what things look like behind the scenes. And I'm just grateful for this opportunity and platform to share that with you. So this is what my life looks like right now. It could look totally different 3 weeks from now or a year from now, but this is it. And I am loving this flow and this season that we're finding ourselves in. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the podcast. And of course, until next time, keep on digging your biggest goals.
I'm over here giving you a virtual high five because you just finished another episode of the Goal Digger podcast. Did that go by way too fast for anyone else? If you want more, head over to goaldiggerpodcast.com for show notes and all the discount codes from today's sponsors. And if you're looking for a new crew of movers and shakers like you to bounce ideas and ask questions, be sure to join my exclusive community for Goal Diggers on Facebook. The link's waiting for you at goaldiggerpodcast.com.